Chapter 8. Robin's next couple of days went by quickly. She worked each night, and during the day she read, worked on a new dress that she wanted to have finished by the time she went out to New Jersey. Alex still called each day, but the calls grew shorter, and the time that they would come grew predictable. Richard asked her each night if she wanted him to follow her home after work, so they could get it on, as he put it. She decided that an occasional mindless fuck with Dick would be all right, but that she would have to be careful that she didn't think that they were actually involved in anything. She decided to at least wait until she came back from Jersey before she would indulge herself in that. Tonight was going to be her first real problem because she had the night off, and mid-afternoon she could feel herself getting lonely. Then the phone rang. She was hoping it would be Amanda wanting to do something, but the ice water of Penelope's voice splashed her from the other end of the phone. She tried to recover quickly. "Hi, how are you?" she said very cheerfully. "I'm shitty. And how are things going for you?" Without waiting for a reply, Penelope continued, "Listen, Robin, I'm going to be in town, and I'd like to stop over." "Oh? Are you going to be busy? I mean, is there any reason you wouldn't want me to drop by?" "No, of course not. I'd love to see you. I haven't heard from you in weeks." "Yes, I know. Is something wrong?" There was a short, bitter laugh on the other end of the line, and Robin could picture Penelope's face screwed up in a snarl as she was doing it. "You might say that. I'll brew some iced tea." "That's just great," said Penelope. "I'll see you in about an hour, then." Robin's hands were shaking when she hung up the phone. She walked around the apartment in a frantic circle, searching for any clues of Alex that she might not otherwise notice. There were two of his ties in the closet and a pair of slippers that she'd bought for him. There were the letters that he'd written to her and the beer mug that he used with two bottles of his brand in the refrigerator. She boxed the stuff quickly and brought it down to her trunk. Then she put the water on for the tea and sat down at the kitchen table, wringing her hands. Alex usually called between 4 or 5 in the afternoon. That meant there was a good chance of him calling while her cousin was there. She decided that she would have to call him at work, but he wasn't in the office, and that made her even more nervous. Suppose he showed up while Penelope was there. Maybe she should just leave a note on the door saying that something had happened to Amanda and that she had to go out and that she was sorry, but maybe she would call Penelope later that night. Maybe she could just call Amanda and tell her that she was coming over. She was still deciding what to do when the doorbell rang. She ran down the stairs and saw the top of her cousin's head over the curtain on the front door. She put a smile on her face, opened the door wide, and tried to sound as carefree as she could. "Hi, how are you?" she said. She and kissed her cousin on the cheek. Penelope didn't return the kiss or the embrace. "Come upstairs." Penelope was wearing sunglasses and had a dark peasant blouse and skirt that hit her girth. "Are you sure that it's all right?" "Of course." After they settled at the table and Penelope spent a minute or two playing with Lenny, she said, "I came to find out why you're trying to ruin my life, Robin." Robin smiled nervously. "What do you mean? Why are you trying to take my husband away from me?" Robin stared at her blankly. "I wouldn't do that." "But you've been going to bed with him, haven't you?" "No, I haven't." She cursed herself for the shakiness in her voice. "Why do you think that?" "Because I had a taping device that Alex doesn't know about installed on my phone. I've listened to the two of you on the phone together." She paused to allow her disclosure to have its effect. Robin's face grew impassive. "Couldn't you find a man of your own? Did you have to take mine? Don't you know that we've got a child?" Penny raised the voice, each question louder than the previous one. Robin's hands began to shake uncontrollably again. She brought them up over her face. "Penny, I'm very sorry that you had to find out this way."
"You're sorry that I had to find out? You little piece of shit."
"I'm sorry that it happened. I don't know what to say." Robin began to cry.
"You don't know what to say. When you moved out here to get away from Ron, didn't I take you in? Didn't I listen for hours about your problems and try to be a friend to you?"
"Yes." Robin was starting to sob loudly.
"Then, why did you do it? Are you just a whore that fucks anything that she can find with a cock?"
"Yes," said Robin. "I must be, to have done something like this to you."
"Don't give me the pathetic bullshit, Robin. That crap doesn't work on me anymore. I knew that Alex was screwing around, but I never thought it was with somebody in my family."
"I broke it off," cried Robin. "I knew it was wrong, and I broke it off."
"Wasn't that big of you? What am I supposed to do now? Compete with the memory of your tight little ass?"
"You might as well keep him, because I'm throwing him out."
"It was my fault, not his."
"It was your fault, all right." She got out of her chair and advanced on Robin, who looked up in time to see the hand that smashed into her face. The crack of the slap reverberated in the room. Robin cried out in pain. Penelope slapped her face again, and Robin hid herself in her hands, crying for Penelope to stop. Penelope slapped the top of Robin's head over and over until she also began to cry. Then she picked up her purse and said, "I don't ever want to see or hear from you again." And she left. Robin sat at the table whimpering until she couldn't cry anymore. The phone rang, but she didn't answer it. Her cousin was right. She was a little piece of shit. At 3 a.m., Ron was asleep and dreaming of Robin. She was telling him that after this period of confusion, that everything was going to be all right, and they'd get back together. He was saying that he believed her, and that he always believed her, no matter what. His room was the closest to the phone, and it woke him almost immediately. He staggered out of his room with his eyes still half closed and the sound of her voice in his head. "Hello," he mumbled.
"Hi," she said.
Ron blinked and shook his head a little.
"Robin, is that you?"
"I'm glad you answered the phone. I miss you."
"I miss you too."
"Are you eating?"
"Some."
"Ron, you have to start taking better care of yourself."
"Okay."
He paused to listen to her breathing. He could see her face with the phone held up close to it.
"When are you coming out here?"
"On Wednesday."
"Do you still want me to pick you up?"
"Yes."
"Where are you going to stay?"
"I don't know yet."
"Do you want to stay here with me?"
"I'm not sure that would be a good idea," said Robin.
"Ron, I have so much to talk to you about."
"What?"
She could hear the excitement in Ron's voice. She smiled. He had a one-track mind when something that he wanted was involved.
"A lot of things, but they'll keep until Wednesday."
"I love you, Ron. You should go back to sleep now."
Ron felt his eyes start to well up with tears.
"I love you too."
He poured himself a glass of juice, sat down at the kitchen table, and lit a cigarette. For sure, he knew that the dreams he'd been having were coming straight from Robin, or at least from wherever it was that she was holding them together. Loreen had been awakened by the phone and had listened to the conversation. She walked out of her room and poured herself a glass of Diet Pepsi. She sat down next to the table next to Ron.
"I'm sorry that the phone woke you up," he said.
"I don't have to work tomorrow, so it doesn't matter."
It was Robin.
I gathered that, she said, smiling. Ron had always felt the connection between Robin and Loreen. They both liked to act and had worked for the same director. They held each other in high regard, but at a distance. Do you think that she'll ever come back to me?
No, said Loreen. I don't think she'll ever come back here to live. But I do think that the two of you aren't finished with each other yet.
Did you think that I would come back here?
Yes, I knew you would. I was surprised that you actually left.
I didn't want to leave, but I wanted to be with her so badly.
I know.
What is it about her? I mean, why her?
I remember when I first saw her. I thought that would be the perfect girl for Ron.
Come on, I swear to you, it was before you even met her. And we were in the snack bar at school, and she was wearing this hot pants outfit with dark pantyhose, the burgundy one.
Yes, she looked very sophisticated and a bit scared at the same time, and I could just picture you going wild for her.
Why?
Because you admire sophistication and love to feel that you protect your woman. It's the city boy in you.
Ron laughed.
So how did we fuck everything up so badly?
Let's just say it was a joint effort in all senses of the word.
They laughed with each other. Ron stared at her long dark hair and the way she held the cigarette to the side when she took a drag off of it.
Do you like her?
We're a bit too much alike to be friends, but yes, I think she's very smart, and I think she's got a lot of guts.
Because she moved away by herself?
Partially, but mostly because she just goes after what she wants, regardless of what anybody thinks about it.
That's surely true.
I'm going back to bed, said Loreen.
Me too, said Ron.
For a moment, Loreen wished that Ron were someone else. She would have very much liked to get laid, but she decided long time ago that she would never sleep with Ron.
He sat in the room smoking a cigarette and staring at the pad. The paper felt smooth, like Robin, as he slid his hand over it. He caressed it as he wrote.
If there were no forces between you and me, if there were no places and there was no time, if hope could turn black as a night cat's eyes, glowing in the fire of their darkness, and we lived in the light of the moon, and I returned this lurking shape to the shadows. If I was ever without you when I was alone, designing my feelings in the air of a room, I could close my eyes and accept. It was never clear between you and me. The inside voice came through us.
Ron stared at the walls of the room. He felt as if they existed in a twilight region and could only fully be alive when he was home in the house, alone.
He walked back out into the living room, sat on one of the couches, and listened. In every direction that he looked, he saw possibilities for magic. He loved this house almost as much as he loved her.